everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. Kind of a special episode here today. I'm going to introduce one of our hypnotherapists at work here. But before we do, let me say, if you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, you need to go there right now, because right down below this video is all the information that goes with the video, links and resource materials and things like that. Also, let me see here. You know, I'm thinking that you might even be interested in the 100 plus videos that we have right here on the calbanyan.com website. So go there, check it out, and now let me get rolling along. Let me see here. I've got a number of different announcements I want to make real quick. Oh, yes. Oh, the Week of Power starts in November. That's November, and oh, I think the date's incorrect on here. Let me look on my wall of power over here. It is the 8th through the 14th, and that is what's the Week of Power. It's where you take your practice, your skill level, your confidence to the next level in the profession of hypnosis. I have a link right below. You can check it out, and of course, that's in next month in 2009. Also, we just put up our schedule for the whole next year. All of our classes, our NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification course, and we have a brand new scheduled class in Malaysia. And we've got some ultimate recognition classes going on in Singapore. And those are all going to be happening around January. So be sure to check the hypnosiscenter.com website. And let's see, if you haven't done so already, I want to encourage you to go to facebook.com and visit our fan page. And hey, if you sign up for the fan page, then we can let you know when extra special stuff is going on and insider stuff that's happening. For example, if you'd been on our fan page on Facebook, you would have known already that we have a special person today. Elron is not going to be on this. I mean, oops, guys, said his name. As we say, Meredith isn't going to be on the show today. Instead, Elron's going to be on the program today. Also, you can follow me on twitter.com and / Cal Banyan. Let's see, anything else? Also, check out our new Basic to Advanced Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification course with 5PATH. This is probably one of the most complete distance learning courses available on the planet to enter into the profession, and it includes certification through the 5PATH International Association of Hypnosis Professionals. All right, that's it with that. Let me introduce to you my co-person. He's not really a co-host. He's someone I'm going to be interviewing. And I'm interviewing this individual today because, there's a lot of hypnotists out there, and I really don't know how good they are. But I want to tell you what, that L. Ron Ferguson is one of the best of the best. He's a true one percenter. And how do I know that? Well, after he went through our certification course, he went through a few months of hell, which is known as our internship program, where each week I'd view his videos of the work he'd been doing. And by the time of the end of that internship, he was really, really doing good. And then he joined us here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center as a regular permanent type hypnotherapist. So let me tell you a little bit about L. Ron. L. Ron grew up in a very psychologically charged environment, which caused as I discussed with him earlier, what he calls a kind of a lifelong interest in how the mind works, interest in performance and accelerated learning, and eventually brought him to the field of hypnosis. He used hypnosis in his own private practice in Oregon before moving here in 2008, and he brings a lot of passion and drive to the field. He's someone that really, really wants to do it right, and he works and he studies and he reviews, and I'm very impressed with him. Let's see. He specializes in 5PATH, and as I said before, he works at our center, and now he's just started writing for the Banyan e-zine, which is on hypnosis.org, which is O-R-G, and also it's on the Banyan Hypnosis Mall, I believe. All right, Elron, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Cal.
Are you excited to be here?
I'm so excited.
Are you nervous?
Not as much as I thought I would be, actually. Thanks for asking, though.
Well, you know, I just want to keep you all cool and calm and collected.
Good, good. Well, there's nothing, nobody can keep you calm and cool and collected like Cal Banning, because after all, he is one of the age's grand hypnotherapists of our time, I think. I mean, at times I introduce Cal at the different trainings that we have coming up here at the center, and every time I usually compare him to one of the greats like Milton Erickson, because it's my belief that 100 years from now, people will look back on Cal and really see him as one of the greatest hypnotherapists of our time. I mean, he's a fantastic trainer, but more than anything else, just his skill as a clinician and as a teacher is really second to none. And of course, he synthesized 5-PATH. And for those of you that don't know what 5-PATH is, that's just the best approach to hypnotherapy that there is. It's criteria-based, it's systematic, and after using 5-PATH, it's like night and day with those other techniques.
Well, thank you very much, L. Ron. And I'm going to look back 100 years from today and see if your premonition came true, because I'm going to live to be at least 155, so that's my goal.
Looking forward to it. Are you still going to be riding bikes then, Cal?
I'm going to be riding anything I can get my rear end on. I'm going to be riding road bikes, which is like what we used to call 10 speeds. I'm going to be riding Harleys. Gosh, I wonder what Harleys are going to look like 100 years from now.
Maybe I'll be riding them by then, too.
Hey, there you go. Hey, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you through the series of questions that I ask really all of the people that we interview. And so it's kind of worked out to be a good format. So here we go.
Lay it on me.
Please tell us about your background before becoming a hypnotherapist. I understand you also trained in NLP as well as hypnotherapy.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lifelong interest in helping people, of course, and I never really knew how that would coalesce together. It's like you said in the introduction, I grew up in a really rich environment full of psychology books, and it seemed like hypnosis almost found me. I stumbled upon it. I was always interested in motivational speakers and that sort of thing. And like you said, accelerated learning. I was really deep into learning speed reading when hypnosis kind of stumbled upon my plate. And I started looking into it and researching it. And, well, what do you know? You can be a hypnotherapist as a career. And I never thought of that before. And all of a sudden, I realized that there was hypnotherapists all around me. And so I got into it and ordered a few videos and a few books and started researching it. And after that, I just got hooked.
Even your mom got into hypnotherapy, isn't that right?
That's right. She actually came here with me last year and took the training with me. And so every once in a while, I still call her up and talk shop with her. You know, oh, Mom, what do I do? No, just kidding.
Well, that's really good to have some parents that, you know, what would we say, respect what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. It really helps propel me to be better than I am, I think, because there's something that comes, it's kind of like two heads are better than one. You have a certain type of synthesis where you can bounce ideas off of another colleague, especially if they're a very close friend, and really propel yourself to the next level in your study and in your practice and everything like that.
Cool. Hey, if there was one thing that really caused you to decide to go into doing hypnosis and hypnotherapy, what would you say that was?
You know, that's a tough question to just narrow it down to one thing. I think more than anything else, it was what kept on happening to me. I was doing a sales job at the time before I discovered hypnosis. And through my adult life, even as a kid, I would find myself in situations where people would kind of open up to me and I would help them through difficult times. And, you know, even as a bartender for years and stuff like that, I mean, you have the classic stereotypical bartender that's there to listen to your problems. Okay, so that was me. But aside from that, I was doing a sales job, and I went up to this lady woman's doorstep and started giving her a pitch about something or other. And right away, she started talking about her son who had recently passed away and started crying about it. And I remember getting back in my car and thinking, you know, I really want to do something like that where I can help somebody who's going through a difficult time or has a feeling that they don't like that, or maybe a result in their life where they're not living the life they think they're supposed to be living. So I think it was just that thought and that desire on the inside of me that kind of really propelled me into taking a really powerful look at hypnosis as a career.
And then once you made that decision, then you went through a number of different training programs, or how did that work out?
Oh, yeah, big time. Boy, I took everything I could get my hands on, from videos and, back, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, I took, 3 months of back-to-back training every single week, 600, 700 hours, NLP certifications, the whole thing. I mean, we studied really advanced techniques such as age regression and all these really fancy guided visualization techniques and pseudo-age regression techniques and NLP techniques. And I came back after all that with a really huge bag of tricks, but not really knowing what to do with them, or not necessarily as proficient as I would have liked to have been in any one thing, and without a schema upon the back of my mind to know when to do what or how long to do it or anything like that.
And then what happened?
And then I came here. Well, actually, then there was a hypnotherapist in my town that I started to become friends with, and we would call each other up and talk shop. And she had some of your videos. And for about a year, she hounded me and hounded me and hounded me to get me to watch one of your videos. I'm like, yeah, I got that. Listen, I got so many books to read right now from all the training that I took. I don't even know. If I could just master the stuff I had right now, I'd be okay. Listen, just put that on the back burner. But eventually, I watched a few of your videos, and right then I knew that there was something that I needed to learn. So it happened really quickly. About 3 or 4 months later, I came here for the Week of Power, and it's just been a roller coaster ride ever since. I went back immediately after that and saw a couple clients, and the experience that I had taking them through a process was like night and day. I mean, the results that I was getting before versus the results that I started to get with even just a visceral understanding at that point in time that I had a five path was like night and day.
How has that affected your classes? I'm not your classes, your... well, I suppose you told... First of all, did you share the word? Did you tell anybody about Five Path and that kind of stuff?
Oh, yes, I did. Even to the point where I suppose I became a bit of an annoyance. But a few people listened to me, and since then I've sent about 3 or 4 people to get trained here as well. I mean, because me and my friends who I had met in the other hypnosis trainings, we laid down so much money in other trainings, I really thought that, well, what kind of a friend would I be if I didn't do the best possible job of bringing them here to get the same training that I did so they could get the results that I were getting. I mean, I'll never forget one of the clients that I saw. He was a janitor, and he took me aside after the 3rd or 4th session. He goes, listen, I really want you to know, don't ever let anybody tell you that this stuff doesn't work. And so that's the same attitude that I've brought to my friends and my clients.
Great. Good. We don't really want to turn this into a big infomercial, so just to go off on another kind of thing here. Can you tell us a little bit about what your practice is like now? I mean, for example, you know, do you generalize or you specialize? And what kind of clients do you mainly see and that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I specialize in Five Path. And that's a general approach to a lot of things. I mean, what I really enjoy seeing are people who have insomnia, because I know a lot about that. That's what I specialized when I was back in Oregon. I really enjoy seeing people who have symptoms that they don't like, such as anxiety or panic attacks, because it's one thing to take somebody through a process where they can be free of an old behavior, such as eating too much or smoking too much or procrastination or that sort of thing. But there's a different type of satisfaction that comes from really alleviating somebody's symptom of, you know, anxiety or a panic attack or something that's holding their life back, like they can't drive and they can't go to the grocery store and they can't pick up their daughter. And then after a number of sessions, they can do those things. So if I was to specialize in something, it would be that, because that's what I enjoy most. But as a five-path practitioner, I specialize in just about everything. Everything that stems from an emotional problem that's working with everyday people with everyday problems.
Now, let me just ask you, do you think being more of a able to generalize and be able to work on a broad various number of issues, how does that compare to someone that maybe specialized and just worked with sports as far as getting a practice off the ground?
Well, I think that it lets you have a larger area of people to really pull from. I mean, instead of just, you can niche yourself in the market, and that can be very successful, especially if you're a larger in a larger metropolitan area. But if you're in a small town, I mean, you don't want to specialize too much because, you know, having more people is definitely better. But ultimately, everybody just comes in with a feeling inside that they don't like that's causing that symptom behavior or problem to be happening in their life, and we have the tools to take care of it.
You know, I totally agree with you. I think that it's a lot easier for people to get started in the profession or to expand their practice if they're able to work with a broad number of clients. Speaking of clients, can you tell me maybe an example of a client you had that would be particularly interesting for our audience?
Well, let's see. There was a client that came in, and as I said, I really enjoy working with sleep issues, but this client actually had hypersomnia, which is that they overslept. They slept too much. And, I mean, she had just a laundry list of problems, and she was, she had been through almost every medical test available. I mean, blood work checked out, thyroid checked out, adrenals checked out as just being fine. Okay, they even tried to tell her that she had sleep apnea. Sleep apnea machine didn't make any difference in her energy level. I mean, she was sleeping about 16 hours a day and falling asleep while she was working. Excuse me. And so when she came to me, I was really just at the end of the rope for her. I mean, it was either this or she was going to have this problem to the rest of her life according to her perceptions. I mean, so I had a lot of leverage with her. I took her through the process, and seeing her as a client was just a testament to how powerful the mind-body connection can be with a client and how much, you know, internal pain, painful emotions from the past, negative programming can really affect someone's overall general health and their well-being and ultimately make them non-functional. I mean, she started to fall asleep while driving. Altogether, I think I saw her about 12 times before she was really on the other side of that issue. I mean, she's my all-time record of a client. But once again, I mean, medical science wasn't doing anything for her. She was taking tons of, you know, antidepressants, panic pills, even anti-narcoleptic pills to keep her awake, and they were having absolutely no effect. And so dealing with the emotional component became very powerful. She had multiple relapses, but she kept on coming back and kept on sticking with it. And she's fine now. She can sleep all the way through the night. She wakes up feeling energized. She's not bothered by her job or different circumstances in her life anymore. I mean, she's really on the other side of those problems. And so I learned a lot by seeing her, but more than anything else, it just really brings a good feeling to know that you could help somebody like that where everything else had failed. I mean, when she first stepped in my office, I thought to myself inside my mind, you know, don't you just want to go see a better doctor, lady? I mean, I don't know if I can help you, but I just trusted the process, and now she's better.
Hey, can you tell me a little bit, like 12 sessions, that's more than the average. You spend a lot of it doing a more age regression, or was it forgiveness work, or why was that?
Yeah. You know, we started out, we did about 3 age regression sessions before we moved on from that part of the process, before her just visceral sense of anxiety was gone, so I could proceed, and she seemed to be doing well with that. Multiple forgiveness sessions with different people. There was a lot of sessions with one person in particular where we didn't get forgiveness in one session. It was just letting all that anger out and, you know, letting the pressure off the valve so that we could continue with the next session with the same process. And like I said, she was improving vastly at different times during the process. And then at one point, she even stopped seeing me for about a month because she was just fine. And then she had a relapse. something came into her life, her perceptions triggered it, she had a relapse, and it was something that maybe had been missed. So we went back to age regression. I mean, she had multiple ISEs, multiple people needed to go into the chair for the forgiveness work. When it came to the phase four, the forgiveness of self work, where the client is alleviating their internal feelings of guilt and anger at themselves, that was just a really powerful session, because right here you're confronting a person's will to even want to be alive in the first place after the life that she'd been through. And there was a part of her that just really didn't even want to live anymore. And we had to put that in perspective so that she could be on the other side of that and really forgive herself.
Great. Hey, and that really does make you feel good when you know that you've done something where all the other professionals have failed, right?
Oh, you betcha it does.
And let me ask you another question. Why do you think your clients pick you over other hypnotists in the area? I mean, we're in Orange County. There's lots and lots of them out here. Why do they pick you?
Well, if I get the chance to talk to them, they can see that I really care about getting them on the other side of their issue and getting their issue resolved. And so rapport to me is very, very important. I mean, more than anything else, I'm dedicated to using whatever level of focus I have in my biological brain to get somebody on the other side of their problem using the most powerful techniques that I can get my hands on. And I give it 100%. And people who have been my clients know that. And people I talk to pick up on that as well.
Perfect. Hey, I'm just going to move this along because we're going to run out of time if I don't. One of the things I like to ask people is, do you do any teaching of classes like self-hypnosis or certification courses or anything like that?
Well, I have taught a 7-path self-hypnosis class probably last year about this time, actually. Two of them. And every training that comes through here, I always really enjoy taking the students and supervising them and raking them over the coals however much I can. I really enjoy doing that. But, from time to time, I help out in class, teach different parts. This upcoming class, I'm going to be doing, an overview of 5-path and probably teaching instant inductions and that sort of thing. But that's really my goal, Cal, is to get into teaching this as much as possible.
Good. Well, I think I'd like to see you do that.
Thanks.
Let's see. I'm getting down to the last couple of questions here on my clip here. What would you like everyone, what do you wish just everybody knew about hypnosis? I mean, they come in and they just don't know stuff. What do you wish that society knew about hypnosis?
I just wish they knew that it wasn't like Hollywood. I mean, it doesn't, it's not like they're under any kind of spell. I mean, it's not a truth serum. There's just been too many weird things and weird movies that come out painting hypnosis in a light where it's really not supposed to be. I mean, you can take somebody through the whole pre-talk and have them watch the Truth About Hypnosis video, and they'll still just have all these wacky ideas about hypnosis. More than anything else, I'd like them to know that I don't have any kind of special power of hypnotizing people. I mean, it's not like this magical aura that's around the hypnotist that makes you go into hypnosis whether you want to or not. It really is all about focus and attention and just following instructions. And it's safe. Those are three things, but, close
good,
enough.
Good, perfect. Let me ask you one more question. What do you see as the future for hypnosis?
I would like to see it closer to a first choice. Whereas a lot of times it's the last choice. I mean, people have tried everything else, and then here they are, after waking up one morning, they've exhausted everything, and they pull out the old yellow pages, or they type in Google, well, maybe I can get hypnotized. I'd like to see it closer to a first choice and really working in conjunction with other professionals. I'd also love to see a degree in hypnosis or a PhD in hypnosis. I'd love to see a degree in 5-path. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, one of the things that I think that even according to the medical model, they're supposed to use the least invasive procedure first, time permitting. And certainly doing hypnosis is least invasive than a surgery, an inoculation, or a shot of some sort, or even a pill. or even some kind of physical therapy, because we don't invade the client's body in any way. And every medication is a toxin, and certainly there's no toxins involved. If anything, with hypnosis, we get all the negativity and the toxins out of them. Isn't that right?
That's right. I mean, anything that's held in the back of the mind that is not good for them, we want to bring that to the surface and throw it out of the truck, so to speak. Throw those lemons out of the truck.
Good. Hey, one last question, and then we're going to wrap it up. And that is, let's see, is there anything else you want the audience to know about you or hypnosis or anything like that?
Gosh, Cal, I really think that we've covered it.
Okay.
You know, just looking at my sheet right here, anything else we want them to know?
Let me give you something.
Okay. Throw me a bone.
Okay. Tell them about the series we're going to do together.
Ah, yes.
Introduce that.
Yes. We are going to do a series of faux case studies, starting off with someone very special. Should I spoil it for him, Cal?
Fill him in.
Okay. Starting off with, we were like throwing around these ideas. Well, who could we put in the chair? Who would be fun to see? You know, celebrities or maybe... you know, historical figures that have their known foibles, or even imaginary characters, people that don't really exist, like maybe Peter Pan or Cinderella, or maybe even, you just never know, right? Limits of the imagination. But we finally decided on maybe a historical figure was the best to start with, and somebody who we thought was very, would be an interesting case would be the great Dutch post-impressionist painter Van Gogh. Because he's kind of a crazy guy. I mean, he cut off his own ear. So he's going to definitely make an interesting client. So what we do is we read upon these clients and take them through the five phases of five path, or maybe four of those five phases, and kind of troubleshoot their case. Like, what might their case be like? What would be some of the challenges with this client? And really just use that as the background to demonstrate how five path works.
We have no idea if this is going to work or not. We're just going to start it off and see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I thought it would be interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, leave it to Cal to come up with these ideas, right?
I know. I listen to podcasts while I'm out riding around on my bicycle and, you know, in the mornings. Like, I just did a 30-mile ride this morning, and Sunday I'll be doing, like, a 45-mile ride. I've got to keep in shape because I know there's another century ride up there in my future. And these ideas pop in my head, and I have to ride really fast home before I forget them. Okay.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
Okay, wrap it up.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching this podcast, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Hey, you guys, you can, if you're interested in having a session with L. Ron, you can find all his information on hypnosiscenter.com. And by the way, please visit hypnosiscenter.com for all of my course schedule. Go to hypnosis.org. We've got our e-zine series there. There's a directory that you can join. Please go to our HypnoSpace, which is our hypnosis community. Get in on the conversation. And gosh, I think that's enough for now. This is Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.